Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast, and I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
I'm sorry, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 10 years, that's right, a decade, here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you guys, all our moderators throughout the years that patched us through at live events. Thank you, Rob Thurick, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week. As well, feel free to jump to the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Any questions for our guest today or our host too as well, make sure they're all caps so we can distinguish between the chat typically going on in the chat room. As well, feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. I'll be posting that and all of our guests' information in the chat room too as well. Your call-ins are always welcome, as we said, but hope everybody's keeping safe out there. Today we welcome paranormal investigator Arrival with Carl Vibe podcast host and YouTube sensation Carl the Crusher, Carl Onslaught. Everyone visit on Facebook Carl Vibes, Twitter at Carl _ Vibe, Instagram and TikTok at Carl Crusher, at Carl Vibe, and YouTube subscribe Carl the Crusher and as well separately Carl Vibe Podcast. Upcoming, we have Paranormal Journey field investigator George Shoplin. He'll be on the program on the 4th, so next week, as well as, we have a holiday in between there. That's right. So we'll have some best of, too, as well along the way coming up as well. Ghostorian Mike Ricksacker promotes his title, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle. That'll be on January 15th, coming back from the break. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have people securing their times, too, as well, coming up. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new broadcasters have been added to the lineup here. A lot of great paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends. A lot of great things happening here on LP. As well, check out the memberships. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great at giving things away here. So that's under the membership thumbnail, as well as support the vendors here on Live Paranormal too as well. So if you're getting grandma mail meter for, you know, Christmas coming up, make sure you do it with the vendors here. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's here monthly Mondays, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP4 iTunes downloads are available on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. Let's bring our host in here, a little slowing here in the... Well, still toggling. There we go. We got our mic up there. Congratulations, Sophie, on 10 years here.
Hey, thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people through the years. I mean, how cool was it also this past week returning on that Scottish podcast, and you were joined with televised psychic Patty Negri and Hollywood Ghost Hunters Rick McCallum this past week. How cool was that?
It was awesome. It was so much fun being back on Scott's show, Paranormal and History, with so many great people. And, I can't thank Scott enough for having me back on the show. It's always a lot of fun talking with him.
Yeah, it was great. You know, we're going to be checking that out. We're going to be posting that, too, as well after the show. And so the archive show will be posting that as well. But you got these Instagrams, Twitters, all these things you kids love out there. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because you gave me too long of a name.
That's right, we did. Yeah, if your middle name was in there, it'd be way longer. So, and tell us about your guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome paranormal investigator, podcast host, and YouTuber, Carl the Crusher, a.k.a. Carl Vibe. Everyone visit Facebook, Carl Vibe, Twitter at Carl _ Vibe, Instagram, TikTok at Carl Crusher, at Carl Vibe, YouTube, Carl the Crusher, and Carl Vibe Podcast. Let's welcome Carl into the show.
Yeah, this is going to be super cool. Let me see. Toggling. There we go. Welcome. Welcome, Carl.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, good. How are you?
Great.
Well, good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a whole list of different channels and links. There's so many different social media platforms from Instagram to Twitter to TikTok to YouTube. It's kind of crazy to keep up with all of it, but we're doing our best.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's like so many social media sites out there. It is really hard to keep up with all of them. But you do a great job of it. I mean, congratulations on reaching over 3 million subscribers.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long road. It started clear back in 2009. I did a whole lot of stuff like with Bigfoot and looking for UFOs and had some crazy experiences, but ended up chasing after trends and doing a lot of fun family content and things like that, and did that for many years and had a lot of success. And now finally getting back into my true passion, which is all the stuff that brought me onto YouTube to begin with, which is all the interesting mysteries in the world. And I live in just the perfect spot now, and so my interest has really peaked with all of it.
I mean, for sure. I mean, it's so cool that you are able to share this, you know, with the world. I mean, to start off, can you tell us what initially kind of sparked your interest in the unexplained and, you know, everything paranormal?
Yeah, I mean, when I grew up as a little kid, I had a lot of recurring dream experiences where I had the same dream over and over again. And then my parents were really open-minded about it, and they would talk to me, and my mom was always like, oh, you should have a dream journal and study it, and maybe there's some meaning to it. And if you have another repeat again, maybe you should try this, you know. So she was really experimental with it, really cool about it. My mom growing up, and I had kind of like the experience with seeing shadow figures in the bedroom and kind of waking up in different spots in the house or out on the balcony or locked out of my bedroom and strange things. And so I was always really mm-hmm. interested in it. And then, you know, as I got older and got into doing like camping out in the wilderness, you get into kind of the Bigfoot stories, and it was always more fun to go into the wilderness with that mindset and looking for things rather than just going and, you know, sitting around and not doing anything around the campfire. It was always more fun to go look for treasure or adventures and things. And when you get out there in those spots, you actually get surprised and have experiences or have encounters that you can't explain, or you get out away from the city lights and you see stuff up in the sky. And then it kind of just opens Pandora's box on you, and you start trying to figure it all out and piece it all together, and now it's become a big part of my life and what I do pretty much full time.
Definitely. I mean, it's super cool that, you know, you do get to take that passion and, you know, make videos for other people who have an interest or want to see more about, you know, the paranormal field. What kind of initially took you from having this interest to deciding to actually make videos? Because that, you know, making videos is very time consuming, and you have to put so much effort into it. So, I mean, I commend you on all the work you put into making them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I think it was just like when I initially got a camera mm-hmm. and started wanting to do YouTube, it was for two different reasons. I really was tired of like my job. I was tired of just sitting at the house and watching TV and Netflix all the time. And I felt like if I got a camera and started getting out and exploring the area around me, that it would help me get in shape. And I was active on a weight loss community on YouTube at the time. So I would go out and do like trips in the local area. I lived up in Idaho near Yellowstone National Park, and there are some really cool spots up around there. And so it kind of got my family out and about instead of just sitting around in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. And then once I got more subscribers, it sort of just took over and has taken me all over the place and on all kinds of adventures and stuff. So, but I did get invited one time because of my filming experience to go work on a documentary film set in the Sierra Nevadas in California, where we were going to be filming a documentary about a Bigfoot encounter that happened a year prior. And the first night up there, we had a whole crazy kind of paranormal Bigfoot encounter, and then saw like a light in the sky fly over our heads and weird stuff. And so that was like a really crazy recent experience in the last like 5 years that really I had my camera stuff there, and we were there to film it, and that was the whole premise. And so that's when it started coming back onto YouTube and doing it online again. Yeah.
I mean, that's super cool that you were able to go do that and, you know, film up in the mountains, you know, with the paranormal and everything. I know you mentioned, you know, you do a lot of these adventures with your kids. Do they also share this interest? And if so, you know, what's the biggest thing that they're interested in, whether it's Bigfoot or ghosts or cryptozoology, any of it?
Yeah, my kids are really cool about going to look at the ancient locations. They're more interested in like the hikes mm-hmm. and looking at the petroglyphs and kind of the metal detecting and looking for treasure. It's really fun. Where I live now is right near Zions National Park and kind of the Grand Canyon and near Area 51. So there's a really interesting mix around here. We can go on a hike and look at some ancient petroglyphs that are like 3,000 or 5,000 years old. And while you're up there in the canyon looking at the petroglyphs, you see weird stuff in the sky. And there's also, you know, strange paranormal legends about skinwalkers and different things in these valleys and stuff. And so when you get out there, you kind of get a mix of all of it, whether you like it or not. When you get into certain spots, it's all about going to those cool locations, because there's, you know, UFO crash sites and everything around here. You just kind of like pick what you're in the mood for, and then we go. And my boys are usually up for a lot of that. My oldest son, he's just now kind of more interested in like the paranormal and ghost investigating and things, so he's willing to go with me on those. But the younger ones kind of steer clear of the paranormal, and they just kind of like to go on hikes and look at petroglyphs for the most part.
Well, it's really awesome you're able to share that experience with your sons. And it's cool that, you know, one of them is starting to, you know, go into the paranormal space with you too, because it's always so helpful when you have somebody you can trust on investigations to confirm or, you know, help debunk whatever just occurred.
Yeah, I wind up doing a lot of it alone. I find like I have a lot of really interesting experiences when I go to these spots alone, because I do feel like people, it is good to have the buddy system and have somebody there to watch your back. But at the same time, I have so much that happens, and it is, maybe it is that I just get a lot more jump scared and more spooked, and my senses are heightened. But when you're kind of in a very interesting spot and you're by yourself, it really does pique your perception, and your senses become really heightened. And sometimes that's not for the best, but usually I stay pretty calm, and I haven't really had any real problems. I haven't had anything follow me home. Most of the experiences that I had, even when I have gotten spooked a little bit, have wound up just being really interesting, or I've learned a lot from it in the end, and it hasn't turned out too bad for me.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I know that you actually enjoy meditation. Do you feel that that helps and aids you in kind of clearing your mind for, you know, receiving any paranormal activity that happens?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think just normally we have a default mode in our mind and in our consciousness and our awareness. So that right when we wake up in the morning, we have just our thoughts kick in our head in the language that we were taught from the day that we were born, you know. So I start thinking in English and having a conversation within my own mind. And that can kind of become like a set of blinders on your perception and your awareness. And meditation, different methods of meditation can help you step back through that and sort of look into those blind spots that you normally overlook around you with your senses and your awareness and perception. And it also brings you more present. So when you're in a spot that's really interesting or has a high level of activity or things going on, you are very present instead of like daydreaming about the past or thinking about the future or imagining things. You're very clear and lucid about exactly where you're at and the senses around you and what's going on. And you notice a lot more and sometimes sense things. And this is the same kind of method that even the CIA and the Stanford Research Institute and those guys all used and probably still use to this day in remote viewing programs and a lot of that in a more heightened sense. But I do it more in a meditative, spiritual kind of a mystical sense. But I also do use the gateway method of meditation that they use out of the Monroe Institute, and that was also used by the government and a lot of that for counterterrorism and a lot of things. So, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that and a lot of validity to the remote viewing and telepathy, and it all ties into the meditation when you learn how to sort of focus it in the right direction.
Absolutely. What advice would you give to someone wanting to start into meditation to, you know, kind of help aid themselves and clear their head while investigating?
Yeah, there are so many, just even YouTube videos and guided meditations and things like that that you can look into. I would start just exploring it. I started reading like Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, started listening to lectures by Alan Watts, There's also a guru on YouTube that does videos called Muji that's really great. But there are also methods, you know, ancient methods called Dzogchen. That's actually spelled with a D-Z-O-G-C-H-E-N is how you spell that. But Dzogchen meditation is just like a very pure method of meditation to just clear your thoughts and be really lucid and present. But then from there, you can try different systems like the Gateway Method, which is more like visualization tools within the meditation so that you can do different energy work or spiritual work or even, you know, like Stephen Greer has his CE5 program that's like a reverse remote viewing system to try and make contact with extraterrestrials. And I think he's a little bit off the mark there, but you know, people can develop their own systems within meditation if they learn it. But I would say start with Dzogchen and some really basic, like Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now is a good way to start for someone who has no experience at all.
I mean, that's definitely great advice for someone who's looking into that. What advice would you give for someone who's looking to start YouTube videos with adventuring or, you know, just going out and to look into unexplained occurrences?
Yeah, I think just the best advice that I would have is like your enthusiasm for the topic is going to be contagious. And so if you always pay attention to like being in love with the topic, and if you're going out and really going to explore your area, really get into it and know where you're going and know everything about it so that when you're there, you almost feel like you run out of time. And then it's easy to get the footage. And then it's just about learning the art of putting the story together to really do it justice. And it comes down to those little details like having the right music so that it tells the right story to what you're emphasizing, mm-hmm. and having the right timing to your editing. But if you really want to get seen and you want to try and do it full time, then you have to learn how to package your videos as far as how you title them, what you put in the description box, all of that. The wording is really important so the algorithm knows where to put you and what your video is about. Like a lot of people will upload a video and they'll say, fun day hiking in the canyon, January 25th. And to the computer, that doesn't mean anything. But if you say giant mystery canyon, lost treasure adventure, those are really strong keywords that the computer system that YouTube has knows what that's about and is really easy to latch on to get you more seen. So if you're careful about how you phrase things and package it when you upload your videos and even when you're talking on camera, all of that makes a difference as you go forward. And then just stick with it. You know, it took me 3 years before I could even make a penny. And then it took me several years after that before I could quit my job and do it full time. So you just have to put in the time.
Well, that's really good advice. You know, social media is so big and people, I think, really want to get out there and explore more. And it's amazing that you're able to do it full time, you know, just being able to do what you love, you know, for a living and be able to share that with your sons, too, is really incredible.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to pass it on. They really love to do the video game stuff a lot more, so they do a lot of live streaming on TikTok and stuff, but I still am like, put down the screens and let's go, like, explore a cave. There's so many cool things around here. Let's go check it out. And so, yeah, tomorrow we're going to go up and go to a place over by the Grand Canyon, over by Kanab, Utah, called the Belly of the Dragon. There's all these really, really cool cave systems and ancient myths and legends around the area, so we're going to go look at some petroglyphs and take them to check out a giant cave system, and it's going to be really fun. We'll probably film 2 or 3 videos just tomorrow going on an adventure. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, that's really cool. I completely understand, though. I'm also a gamer, so I get it. But, I mean, Assassin's Creed could be helpful with the cave exploring.
Right. If they play like Skyrim or something, then maybe it's applicable when we get out there. Right?
Yeah, it's actually helpful. It's virtual simulation for the next day.
Exactly. Yeah. So it all applies. And yeah, they know when to turn and run and when to stand behind their dad. But yeah, usually we go in the daytime with the kids and just keep it pretty fun.
Definitely. And I know besides Carl the Crusher YouTube channel, you also do Carl Vibe. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and how that came about?
Yeah, so I decided I wanted to start that channel so I could have it to accompany the adventure channel, the Carl the Crusher, because I wanted to make contact with other people and hear their stories around me that are also doing the same thing. I realized there's a whole community of people that are into UFOs and into Bigfoot and into all these same lost treasures and mysteries all around me. And some people are experts on it and they're excited to tell their stories. And so I wanted to focus a podcast show on that and do it live and do it really fun and respectful and keep it really family friendly and everything. But also it's a really great way for me to make friends with all these guys, because a lot of the times after the shows, they're like, hey, next spring we're going to go up and explore this cave where there might actually be like a tomb and a chamber with all this stuff if you want to go. And it's like you make all these really cool friends. And, yeah, so I really like it. I have a lot of time when I'm just up in I can't really go out and adventure or the weather isn't favorable. And so it's great to have the podcast show and to do it, to be able to get the information out there and to give new perspectives and to give some of these really fascinating people time to talk and to tell their stories, because some of these people are really amazing and have a lot of cool stuff to tell that should be heard.
For sure. I mean, it's always great meeting people, you know, with similar interests, so you can go out there and really share that experience with other people. I mean, like 20 years ago, the paranormal was so not talked about, and now it's more mainstream, but it's really nice that it's not so taboo and people feel comfortable talking about these interests and their experience that they're having.
Exactly. You have a lot of this when you start to look into, like, the scientific studies and quantum physics and what they're trying to look into at the deepest levels of in the scientific community and philosophy. And it all really is kind of starting to point back into these ancient teachings and the sacred geometries and these ancient meditation methods. And a lot of these scientists and people who are really fascinated with this stuff, they're all doing Dzogchen meditation, and they're all fascinated in these alternate dimensions of reality. So the whole topic, you know, is starting to gain more traction and respect. Like, I've been on the podcast show, the Unidentified Celebrity Review on YouTube, which is a great show. They do shows like almost every night of the week. But they had, you know, like high-level people out of the Pentagon that come on that show, and they're very comfortable talking about alternate dimensions of reality and evidence of crashed UFOs and recovered debris and the research projects going on. And they'll talk about it right open on these shows. And a lot of them just aren't getting seen, you know, because everybody's just lost in their regular entertainment from day to day. But when you go look, there's a lot of people doing really cool stuff out there right now.
Absolutely. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions and to talk more about Carl Vibe.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And today we welcome paranormal investigator, arrival with Carl Vibe, podcast host, filmmaker, and YouTube sensation, Carl the Crusher, Carl Allenswat. Everyone visit on Facebook at Carl Vibes, Twitter at Carl_Vibe, Instagram and TikTok at Carl Crusher, at Carl Vibe. YouTube subscribe, Carl the Crusher, Carl Vibe Podcast. It's a Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
That's right. Oh, poor Dave. Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm bringing everybody back into the studio. Yet feel free to call in, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And still trying to get Carl back in here. There we go. Carl, Sophia, have you back on.
Hey, awesome. Carl. Thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great so far.
Absolutely. I know also we were talking about Carl Vibe before the break started, but you had on someone from The Secret of Blind Frog Ranch. Can you tell us who you had on and just, like, have you been to the ranch and, you know, what did you learn from talking to someone who works at such, you know, a really remarkable location?
Yeah, I'm actually really good friends with the whole family and everybody up there, and even the production crew from the television show. They're all really amazing people. When I got to go up there for an event called Phenomicon, I made friends with all of them at that event, and they just, like, really treated me like family and were great and invited me to come back up there and work a charity event with them at a local haunted hotel, because they don't normally do the paranormal type stuff, and so it was the opportunity for them to invite me to come up there. And we really had a great time, and Chad Olinger, his father, Dwayne Olinger, he is the owner of the entire Blind Frog Ranch, and so his son, Chad, him and I became really good friends, and we actually did the haunted hotel thing together, that whole paranormal investigation. And that was his first time doing it, like a ghost hunt. And so I kind of introduced him to that night. And then, but I got to go up and do a tour of Blind Frog Ranch and tour the whole location and stand in the part where they have a sunken, possible buried treasure. We're going to find out in the next season of the TV show what's down in there. But there's a tunnel system, a cave system that they've mapped out underneath the ranch up there that has all sorts of anomalies under it, and they've detected different things that might be buried in there. And the legends go clear back to buried Aztec treasure or Montezuma's treasure. They've found Native American beads, bones and coins and different things up on the hillside. One of the strangest things that goes on there is there's an energy spot where they can take dirt or sand. And when they smelt it in this one location on the mountain, it spits out these exotic metals like gold and these mixes of silver and aluminum that shouldn't actually come out. So it's like reality has a weird tweak to it up there on Blind Frog Ranch. And they even have animal mutilations, UFO sightings, Bigfoot sightings, and like tree structures, like you name it, all kinds of things just like Skinwalker Ranch are going on up at Blind Frog Ranch. And yeah, I hope to go back up there, but it'll probably be next spring before I get to go back up there, because the whole place is probably buried under snow right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to work around the snow, but it's super cool you were able to build that bond and take Chad on his first ever ghost hunt.
Yeah, and we had a lot of great experiences on the ghost hunt, and and that's always been my whole takeaway from these things, is when I go to these locations, I meet the people, and that's what usually surprises me, is because I get there and I'm fascinated with the location, but then you meet the people working around it or that live there, And it sucks you into it even more because you realize it's completely real to them. This is, they live there and they're not lying about this. It's not a gimmick. And mm-hmm. what people usually see on the shows, on the TV shows, and what they see online is only a tiny bit of usually what they're even comfortable sharing with what goes on in some of these places. And so it is really cool when you get off camera and kind of be able to make a connection with people to hear the real story behind what's going on place at some of these places. And it is really fascinating and important what they're doing.
For sure. And what do you kind of hypothesize might be actually happening at Blind Frog Ranch? Do you have any theories?
I do. I think there's a combination of things, kind of like a cocktail of things that have occurred up there. First off, they've already identified that there is a big meteorite underneath the ground up there. And so there could be something to do with this meteorite that creates electromagnetic anomaly within the Earth, and the fragments of this meteorite could create like strange anomalies that affect human perception and human consciousness, so that when people walk around there, it's kind of like walking in a strong electromagnetic field, and it might amplify human perceptions to be able to see into alternate dimensions. Or it could also affect reality and make the fabric of dimensional reality thin, to where things from other timelines from the past or the future or alternate dimensions can maybe slip through in some of these spots where the geology and the Earth is just right, or maybe there is an anomaly like a meteorite that hit the Earth in prehistoric mm-hmm. times there that has created a spot where these paranormal things kind of slip through, where normally our dimension of reality stays pretty held together. But when you get up into these spots and things are just right and you're in the right spot, it's kind of like an amplifier on a radio that can suddenly pick up a whole new dimension of signals or a whole other reality, or it's affecting the people there in order to be able to perceive those things going on around them. So it is still kind of a really strange mystery, but there is some very legitimate research going on, scientific research going on all up there at Blind Frog Ranch, and even down in the community with volunteers in the community. That's really fascinating that they're working on right now. So I'm excited to see what comes of it, because I think it's really important to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's super cool that, you know, you've developed these theories just through what you've learned personally and, you know, actually just knowing people who own and work there. I know you also have interviewed some cast members from another really interesting show, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and have you ever been to the ranch?
Yeah, so I've been around the perimeter of the ranch. I didn't actually get to go within the gate of Skinwalker Ranch. I haven't been able to do that yet. They very, very careful about that for good reasons, because there has been people, you know, injured and have radiation injuries and things like that, and anomalous things occur on Skinwalker Ranch. So just for people's safety, they don't let people go in there without signing a lot of paperwork, you know, non-disclosures and releases mm-hmm. and things before you actually enter the ranch. But I've gotten as close as you can get up to the gate and around, and, you know, met and hung out with a lot of those guys and interviewed them on my show, and definitely have had strange experiences there. Skinwalker Ranch is in the exact same basin and area as Blind Frog Ranch. It's basically about a half hour drive to the south and lower in elevation. And there's a strange reservoir there that has had a lot of UFO sightings and drowning victims and paranormal things happen right by Skinwalker Ranch. And then the ridge there at Skinwalker Ranch has ancient petroglyphs as well as Masonic petroglyphs and strange carvings on it, and a whole bunch of paranormal and electromagnetic signals. And I've, you know, even heard rumors that there's giant tunnel and cave systems that connect from Blind Frog Ranch all the way down to Skinwalker Ranch underneath the ground from ancient aquifer systems that have since evaporated and just created these tunnel systems underground. And that maybe ancient civilizations have lived down there and hidden things down under there. and possibly might have something to do with the weird paranormal stuff that's going on too.
Definitely. Do you have any, you know, kind of thoughts on if one may be more active than the other, or do you think they're kind of equal?
I think it sort of migrates around. I feel like both experiences at both places were very interesting to me when I went there. I feel like both are legitimate, and the research going on in both places is legitimate. It is interesting that right around Skinwalker Ranch, there are a lot of, like, oil drilling rigs. There's a lot of commercial operations. There's basically residential housing right up to the gate. You can, as you drive up to Skinwalker Ranch, there's people living there on the Indian reservation right there, right around the ranch and with houses right along Skinwalker Ridge. But you get up to Blind Frog Ranch, and you're basically up in the middle of nowhere with nothing but, like, ancient caves and weird stuff. There's not much up there other than interesting geology and wilderness. And so I feel like Skinwalker Ranch has been a little bit more modernized and has people living around it and oil drilling and things like that going on. And the city's kind of grown around it more. So it is interesting that there is still a lot going on there. But up at Blind Frog Ranch, it's like being up in the wild and to Mother Nature and then having paranormal things occur. And so I would say that both are equally interesting. But, Skinwalker Ranch has people living around and houses around it. But all the neighbors still have stuff that happens there. So I can't really say too much about that.
Absolutely. And from the bonds you formed on each show with people on, you know, both sides of Flying Frog and Skinwalker Ranch, what is kind of your take on the issue of digging there? Because I know some people have actually been injured just actually sticking a shovel into dirt on Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a mix there of people having concerns about the Native American burial sites and curses on the land, or maybe artifacts and dwelling spaces that they want to protect that are all about that and the legends. And there's also stuff to do with, you know, theories about UFO crashes and things buried underground, or maybe even nuclear waste and experimental waste from Area 52, from Dugway Airfield, where they've done a lot of chemical testing over in the Salt Flats west of Salt Lake City. There could be possible that some of that was dumped up there. You know, I don't know. So there could be all sorts of weird things underneath the ground. But I honestly feel like whenever they're like, oh, don't dig there, and they can't say why, there's usually just some sort of a strange cover-up. But it could be a whole different mix of things. They are digging there, and some of them have gotten hurt with different radiation signals and electromagnetic things. So it could just be something dangerous under the ground that they don't want to dig. But I don't think they know. They're going to have to scan the earth and get down there and look. I don't think I would be too afraid to dig if they just did it with caution.
Definitely. Again, it is really cool that you've been able to experience that and create the bonds there with such iconic and really just fascinating locations. But you've also done so many ghost hunts with Carl the Crusher. Can you tell us about some of your favorite investigations you've done and what transpired during them?
Yeah, so the most recent one that I did was a place really close to me here, which is a place called the Mountain Meadows Massacre Site. It's a place where there was like 140 people that were murdered in a valley while they were on their way as pioneers headed to California. And it was kind of a case of mistaken identity where the militia in the area thought that they were a group of different people coming to attack them. So they rode up and preemptively wiped them all out. And the way that the place was dealt with was really bad. Like the bodies weren't dealt with properly. They were just kind of left out. And so the whole area is very creepy. It just feels unsettled. So I did a paranormal investigation there. I tried to do it very respectfully to the victims and the families and everything. But I had some really strange experiences where I would hear things, felt like they would run up right behind me, and I'd turn and there would be nothing there. There was a large metal gate that had a heavy latch on it that I would close, and then I would walk to the other side of the kind of cemetery area. And then when I would go back, the gate would be wide open and there would be nobody there. And the gate is really loud and makes a lot of noise. But also the haunted hotel up in Vernal, you know, I went up there thinking it was just going to be like a thing for a charity event. But when we did the investigation, we had a lot of interesting stuff happen where we used a spirit box in order to try and communicate in this particular hotel room that was supposedly haunted. And when we went in the room, the energy in that room was very heavy, and we all felt the energy kind of shift in the room. And when we turned on this spirit box, it was like almost like it was talking back and forth with us. We could say, "What was your name?" And it would say, "Sophia." And then we'd say, "Do you need help?" And it would say, "Yes, please help me." And it was almost like having a conversation with someone through a different signal. It was really fascinating. And I also saw kind of a shape of a small child move across the hallway and went down there to the end of the hallway and looked in the rooms, and there was no other way out and nothing there. And the story is that there was a little kid that drowned in the swimming pool that they see in the hallway down there all the time. So I did see that. I've had a lot of different experiences like that. I think people who haven't just don't go and look, or they're kind of too scared. And so as soon as things start to occur, they panic and they leave rather than sit with it. And I kind of like to sit with it and get interested, and then that's when things occur.
Definitely. And what is your favorite piece of equipment to use on investigations?
Usually my favorite pieces of equipment don't work or they fail on me. I get there and I'm really excited about it, and I'm like, all right, I've got this really nice piece of night vision. And as soon as I go to turn it on, like, it won't matter what SD card I put in it. None of them will work, or the batteries will all drain. I think most reliably the thing that has worked has been that spirit box. It's just been one that I got off of Amazon, just like it's $150 or something. But that one has always been very interesting and almost like being able to communicate back and forth. But personally, I like to just go with a very basic set of equipment, just my camera and a flashlight. And I like to use as little equipment as possible until I feel like there's things that are occurring. And then I'll usually set up one thing at a time. I don't like to set up an entire room with multiple cameras and several pieces of equipment. I just feel like sometimes it's just too much, you know, too much for your own attention to relax into and to be aware of. So I like to put out like one piece of equipment and run with that for a little bit and see what happens. And if that seems to slow down, then I'll change it up and see if something else occurs. And sometimes I'll just sit there in the dark for a while and use my awareness until things start to happen.
For sure. I mean, it's so different and unique on each investigation. I mean, you kind of have to adapt and figure out what works best or if your equipment is going to work. So I think that's really the fun thing, too, is just seeing what will work and what to change up or try next time you go. What would you like to, I mean, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you like to investigate the most?
Oh, I think, you know, there's like a whole string of like UFO sightings that fall along a certain alleyway, a certain pathways across the planet that I would really like to just go explore those. I really relate a lot to a guy named John Keel. He's the one that wrote the Mothman Prophecy book and investigated that. But a lot of people don't know, he did a lot of UFO investigations and Bigfoot investigations, and he really tried to thread them all together almost like they had a migration pattern. So for me, I would love to take kind of like all the big stories, all those big things, and investigate those and try to tie them all together and see if they're connected. I still have never been to Roswell yet, so So I still would like to go there. I think that's kind of funny. I haven't been there yet. That's on my list. So probably that. I would like to get all those big spots and see what they all have in common and try to tie that together. That would be really cool.
That would be awesome to watch. And with Carl Vibe, too, who would you like to investigate the most? I mean, interview the most.
I think it would be really interesting to interview Hal Putoff. He works at To the Stars Academy right now with Tom DeLonge and works in all those projects. But he's so interconnected with all the government secrets with the UFOs. And he actually is one of the original people that came up with the term remote viewing. And he was the head of that Stanford Research Institute that came up with all that, all these meditation methods that I use. And so I think the one person, if I could ever like interview and just sit down with and talk to even off camera and hear everything they need to know, I would want to talk to Hal Putoff. I think he knows just about as much as anybody on the planet about everything that I'm fascinated with.
Definitely. And, you know, when you go into these locations, I mean, places like Skinwalker Ranch and Blind Frog Ranch, they can be very unknown. And the same with any haunted location. Is there anything you do as a means of protection before, during, or after any type of investigation you do?
For me, it all comes down to my preparation that I do with meditation. And then I try to do the best that I can with my equipment going into it. Because I do anticipate that my equipment or anything like that is going to fail. So I try to keep all of that as simple as possible. I like to fit everything into one backpack. But what I like to do to kind of protect myself is to just really have my own consciousness in order, my own mindfulness in order. I do have a meditation method where I you know, clear out any kind of negativity that I might have going on or any kind of fearfulness. I have methods that I do that I visualize in order to do that, and also kind of to build up my confidence in my own presence of mind and awareness, so that going to these situations, I don't get confused or let my imagination run wild or start letting my mind play tricks on me. I just try to stay very present and clear. So I think my first method of, and barrier of like protection and staying safe, is my own mindfulness of my consciousness and emotions and my meditation methods with all of that when I go in there. So I'm just very clear and calm and not telling a bunch of stories in my mind and working up in my fear and, you know, thinking every little shadow that moves is something real or anything like that. I try to go in there really clear and aware and ready for whatever could occur. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know this hour has gone by so fast, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, events, investigations that you would like to mention?
I'm getting ready to basically on the Carl the Crusher channel, on my main YouTube channel, to do an entire investigation of this whole region. Sort of like I talked about, there's so many ancient locations and petroglyphs and mysteries that have to do with not just the paranormal, but from skinwalkers to up to Blind Frog Ranch, UFOs, Bigfoot sightings, even out in the mountains out here, there's even Bigfoot sightings and things that occur. And so there's just so much around me. I feel like I can barely scratch the surface and there's not enough time. So I'm kicking off a whole series where I'm just going to go after it. As soon as I get an idea or I find a really cool location, I'm going to go try and see how it fits as a piece to the puzzle, to everything that was going on. You know, what were all these people in the ancient times all over the planet carving in these petroglyphs and hiding in these caves and doing, and why are these same locations so full of these strange things, everything from portals to missing persons to buried treasure to UFO sightings, to, you name it. It all happens in these same spots where these strange carvings are, and I just kind of am so fascinated to go look at all of them and see how they all connect. I have just the lifestyle to do it. So that's what I'm really excited to start doing next.
Definitely. Well, I can't wait to see all the upcoming YouTube videos you have out. And I want to thank you again so much for coming on today. It's been great talking to you. And I would love to have you back on in the future.
I'd love to. Yeah, it was great. It flew right by really fast. That was awesome.
For sure. And hopefully maybe we can meet up and investigate in person sometime.
Let's do it. I'm totally down. There's so many spots. You just pick one, and or we can just grab one out of the hat, and it'll be awesome. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you again so much for coming on today, and have fun on your adventure tomorrow.
Thanks, Sophia. It's going to be really fun. Thank you so much, and you guys have a nice day.
Thanks, Carl. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.